Well, good morning. We're looking this morning at the book of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 18, as we continue with our series in the Gospel of John. So I want to invite you to turn with me, if you would, and let's read together from John chapter 5. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. This is God's Word. Father, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, and minds to receive, and hearts to accept and embrace truth. Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look around, we can see that it is clearly vacation season. Many people are taking break from the busyness of life. And that's a good thing. We need those breaks. And oftentimes, however, we need a break from our break. Have you ever needed a vacation when you get back from vacation? That's often the case, isn't it? We don't really know how to rest. Well, the Bible speaks much about rest. God made us with a need for it. It was his first model for us as image bearers. Like a workman, God created on day one, and then again on day two, and again on days three and four and five and six. On the seventh day, God's work was finished and he rested. He established this pattern for us to follow, as we see in the fourth commandment. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. We were made in need of rest. And lack of rest can cause all kinds of health problems, as I'm sure you know. Your immune system doesn't work like it should if you don't get the rest you need, and you become much more susceptible to the dangerous elements around you. Your body needs rest every 24 hours to function well. In fact, the better you rest, the more capable you are during the day. And it's not just time, but quality rest that matters. The same is true spiritually. Just as your body needs rest every 24 hours to function optimally and keep up your immune system, your soul needs rest every 7 days. This is called the Sabbath. It helps you live optimally and guards your soul against the many dangers lurking out there. That rest brings healing. Well, the Sabbath is for healing. And therefore, we must commit ourselves to keeping it and making it your delight. The Sabbath is for healing. Call it your delight. Well, as we go through this text, for this text illustrates many things we need to learn about the Sabbath. And I want you to note these things about rest. Rest, healing rest, that is elusive. That's first. Secondly, healing rest is hindered by our sin. And thirdly, healing rest comes from Jesus. So let's look at this as we unfold this story a little bit. Let's look at the story and how it works itself out. For we see it at the healing that we're after is elusive. Look at this encounter in verse 2. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, an Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades, and in these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." So here's a man who's been an invalid for 38 years. He sits at the pool day after day, waiting for the water to be stirred, presumably that the stirred waters might heal him. Whether they would or not is not the point. He believes they will, and that belief has kept him trying for 38 years to be the first one into the waters. But this healing continues to elude him. Someone else beats him to the water every time. That's a common feeling, isn't it? Working, chasing that something that will finally heal the emptiness inside. It's often what keeps us pressing on. There's light at the end of the tunnel, we say, capturing this idea. We taste it for a moment at the completion of a project at work, the last exam at school. For the brief moment, it tastes so good, but then it's gone, replaced by another project. The need to find a new job, another semester, another something. That healing rest that we seek is elusive too. And yet intuitively we seek it. We long for it. Everyone's working for the weekend, as Loverboy sings so eloquently. Everyone's trying to get it right, to get it right. But we never do. It is this man, the invalid of 38 years of trying, that Jesus heals. It is this healing that finally gives the man rest from his futile efforts of getting into the pool. It's a simple lesson, really. Jesus gives the rest that we seek. He simply asks the question, "Do you want to be healed?" Jesus asks you the same question, "Do you want to be healed?" The man's answer, yes, is framed in an eye-opening way, for he doesn't answer directly. He says, instead, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." He still isn't looking to Jesus to heal him. He does, however, recognize the futility of his own efforts, and that's the first step in finding rest. It's seeing the futility of what you're doing to gain it on your own. This invalid is a lot further along than most of us. While we may see the elusiveness of healing rest, we're often not ready to give up the chase because it seems so close. I watch teenagers investing the lion's share of their energy into building a reputation with their friends. They win moments of approval, of admiration, and it is enough to convince them that if they could just get more of this, they can stop striving. But of course, we know it won't. I watch the young graduate with a new career chase accolades in his job with the expectation that he can climb the corporate ladder. And while success is reachable, the healing rest we hope it brings continues to elude. I looked at the lives of the partners in the firm I worked for out of college and didn't want to trade lives with any of them, despite their success in the business. Their lives were a mess, and yet we keep believing that if we can just reach the carrot dangling in front of us, we will have that healing rest. It seems so close, just like it did to this man in the pool. Think about it. He's within sight of the waters. He's perhaps within touch even of the waters. And yet they continue to elude him. But their closeness keeps him trying for 38 years. There has to come a time when we realize that another step down, that there is always going to be another one who steps down into the pool before us. Another beats us every time. Healing rest continues to elude us despite our best efforts. Thankfully, the story continues, however. The man is healed by Jesus, but he doesn't know who it is. Look at how the story unfolds, verse 13. Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. Jesus' statement is a bit shocking at first glance. He seems to tie wellness to sinning no more. And while there is a sense of that, let's look deeper. The implication is that his predicament was caused by his sin, or that sin brings with it calamity. And that certainly is true. Look around you and see that the pain we often find ourselves facing is often a result of the choices that we've made. At the heart of sin is simply an attempt to find your own rest, to heal yourself. So when Jesus says, sin no more, what he's saying is stop trying to find your own rest, for you will wear yourself out in the search. You can't find it by your own searching. Only I can give it to you. There's another parable that really illustrates this point, and it comes from Luke chapter 11. Let me read it to you. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and finds none. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. You see, if you want rest, not only must you recognize the futility of your efforts, but you must look to Jesus alone for it. It's not enough to turn from your present addictions for healing and rest. Something will fill that void. And if it's not Jesus, then you'll be worse than you were before. I've heard how often counselors will encourage someone who comes struggling with a problem, seeking for help. And often a counselor will help direct them from this particular problem into finding an escape by getting something else to replace it in their life. And there's always good intentions involved there, but the problem is often that simply leads a person exchanging one set of addictions or one idol for another idol. And while it may break them free from the first one, it simply puts them in a situation where they have another one to take its place. Just like this man who was healed of the unclean spirit initially, and his house is for a moment cleansed and healed, but with nothing to take its place, this spirit seeks seven others far worse than itself to come and occupy the place. What Jesus is saying is, look, I've healed you. I've given you the rest from needing to find your way into these waters. Now sin no more. Stop seeking rest to find your own way. You've got to look to me to be the source of your life from this point forward, or you'll find yourself in a worse situation. Well, why Jesus, as we move to point three? Why is it that Jesus is the one who can heal us? Well, Jesus does something remarkable in this passage. It may not seem like it at first glance, but consider the reaction. You see it in verse 16. This was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. You see, the Sabbath was a sacred day for the Jews. Listen to the way that they see it. Now that day was Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. Now the Jews, of course, understood that Sabbath was a day of rest, and in their desire to protect God's law from being broken, they had sought to define what was rest and what was work. If they could identify the difference, then they could make sure they weren't working on the Sabbath. But as soon as they did that, they missed the point of the fourth commandment. The commandment to keep the Sabbath isn't a way for man to appease God, but a way for God to bless man. Jesus explained it clearly when he said in Mark chapter 2, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You see, keeping the Sabbath isn't drudgery that we must perform to get God's blessing. It's a gift that we might enjoy God's rest. Consider for a moment the original context in which the first Sabbath was exercised. The Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, hordes of them, after they'd been set free from their oppression, their slavery in Egypt. And now they're wandering in the wilderness where there was no food, and so God had miraculously caused food in the form of this wafer-like bread that they had called manna, which means, what is it, to appear on the ground every morning. There was enough for everyone to gather, just enough for that day. and only on the sixth day they could gather enough for 2 days, and the reason was that the seventh day was a day of rest. They wouldn't need to gather, and they would still have enough. God always provided the means for them to rest and remember that He is their Creator and their Redeemer. The Sabbath was shalom in the wilderness, in a harsh environment, surrounded by enemies. It was an oasis amidst the desert. It was God who brought that rest. Ezekiel, the prophet, explains it like this in chapter 20 of his book. I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. This is why it was such a big deal when Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He was doing work that was reserved for God alone. The Jews understood this, as we read back to our text in John chapter 5. And this was why the Jews were persecuting him, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, My Father is working until now, and I am working. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus provides the healing that gives us Sabbath rest. So how do we then practice the Sabbath? Look with me at Isaiah chapter 58 in verse 13 and 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You practice the Sabbath by not doing your own pleasure, by not going your own way. The things that seem to give you rest, getting ahead for Monday, catching up on your homework, paying bills that are due, cleaning up, etc., because they take things off your plate, won't do it. They seem to. They do provide a moment of respite, a moment to relax, but these chores are never ending, and as long as we think our rest, our true rest in which our soul is healed, comes from our own accomplishments, we will never know that rest. The Sabbath is ceasing from all of this, even though your work is not yet done. It's resting in the midst of your enemies. The Sabbath is ceasing from all of this and calling the Sabbath a delight. This is where we take delight in the Lord, in this rest. In this rest, we find Jesus waiting to heal us. He takes away our pain, He wipes away our tears, and He gives us a glimpse into His eternal kingdom, a place where there is rest from our labor because there is peace with our Maker. You see, the ultimate cause of this unrest is this fact that we have this hole in our lives that was meant to be filled with a relationship with God. That hole came when we were kicked out of the Garden of Eden because our forefathers had gone their own way, had sought their own source of wisdom apart from God. And they had lost that place at God's side. The Sabbath is a healing of that hole. And Jesus is the healer of that hole because He did all the work that was necessary to gain the approval and affirmation of God our Father, so that we could be called children of God, that we could walk in a restored relationship with Him, and that unrest of the soul now has peace with God. And every seventh day we are called back into His presence to remember that reality. So while we are not yet fully in the kingdom, the Sabbath day is that day in which we get to peek and look at the kingdom, to be reminded of all the goodness that is there, that belongs to us, that is ours to inherit, because Jesus has finished all the work necessary. So stop going your own way on the Sabbath day, this Sabbath day, and call it a delight. For that is the day we are called into the Lord's presence to remember that He is our Creator, and He is the one who has done all the work necessary to redeem us and to restore us in that relationship. So stop going your own way on the seventh day and rest in the Lord. and remember. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for this Sabbath day, in which Jesus brings healing and a remembrance of that healing. Would you help us to embrace it and to call it a delight? In Jesus' name, amen.